Chicago's home for sports is live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on ESPN 1000.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I need that story from the nuttiest story of the day. Yeah, and don't forget, we're out tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, and we will start your weekend with Miller Time. We're going to be out at the Howard Street Inn in Niles. It's been a place that we've been to many times. We've had appearances there. We've had shows there. Come check us out tomorrow, 2 to 6 in Niles at the Howard Street Inn. It's all courtesy of Miller Lite.
Okay, you want the story?
Yeah, so what is this? Plastic cup?
Scientists have made a plastic cup out of salmon sperm. Researchers at a university in China have developed a sustainable, biodegradable plastic that is derived from salmon sperm and vegetable oil, which might just be the most viable solution yet for the world's imminent plastic pollution problem. The promising substance was created by extracting strands of DNA from the sperm of salmon.
So they're getting the DNA.
And dissolving the genetic matter into water with ionomers, a type of polymer commonly found in adhesives, to produce a gel that's pliable enough to be molded into various forms. The material is then freeze-dried to set the shape.
There you go. Instead of the red Solo cup, you're going to have the salmon sperm cup.
Their experimentation led to the creation of a rumpled-looking mug as well as puzzle pieces, all made of what they call DNA-based plastic.
That's amazing. Science.
Science, man.
Science. There you go. All right, so we will continue to take holiday parody songs at ESPNParody.com. The Bears are practicing today. Justin Fields was limited once again. One of our former boss, Mike Thomas, sent us a show segment from one of his shows in Boston where obviously Mac Jones is playing. And this has been a topic going around the country for the last week or so. We've even dabbled in it a little bit. Is what they're doing in New England as they lead that division and they have this showdown here with the Bills and Mac Jones starting to play really well and winning football. Is that a product solely on Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick? Or is that more of a Mac Jones is good thing? And what would they be if they, remember, Mac Jones was the only one left. We don't know if they would have taken Justin Fields if they had first choice. We don't know what their order was if they were at the top of the draft. And so the host said something to the point of, if Justin Fields or even Zach Wilson was their quarterback, they would be 8-4 as well. And then
I would make the argument that you'd be 8-4 with Justin Fields before I'd make the argument that you'd be 8-4 with Zach Wilson.
I agree, too. I agree, too.
But I mean, listen, I think it's a combination of things. I think that, look, who does, and again, I'm not connecting these dots, but who does Zach,
Mac Jones
remind you of in that system? A young Tom Brady, right?
Well, I mean, look, if we're going to get any unathletic white dude who doesn't have the strong...
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I'm saying somebody that throws on timing and short passing
game.
But
there are many quarterbacks. Like, why does he remind us of Tom Brady? He reminds us of a rookie Tom Brady, a guy who
makes good reads, good decisions, balls coming out quick, sees the field.
I'm not saying that in regards against you. I'm saying, does he really remind us of Tom Brady?
Well, the offense looks a lot like the Patriots offense back in the day when Tom Brady was their quarterback. I mean, again, as I said, I'm not connecting those dots directly. My point is his style seems to fit what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are looking for initially. Could Justin Fields segue into that or come into that offense and have the same level of success? Would it look exactly the same? I don't think Justin Fields and Mac Jones are exactly the same player.
Right.
So Josh McDaniels would then have to tweak the offense to things that Josh or that Justin Fields does well. Like Justin Fields, again, in my humble opinion, came into this season, into the NFL. He wasn't running a quick passing game at Ohio State. They'd protect the pocket, he'd drop back deep, and he'd wait for these long developing route combinations to develop, and then he'd drop dimes on guys because he was exceptionally accurate down the field. I think that Mac Jones probably was more built, at least early in his career, to play in a more of a quick read passing game. So, look, again, like I said, I would think that I just think Justin Fields is a much better quarterback than Zach Wilson. I thought of all of the QBs coming out this past year, the one quarterback that would eventually possibly remind you of Mitch Trubisky would be Zach Wilson. Like, it's too early to come to that conclusion with Zach Wilson. But the early returns on him weren't good before he got hurt, but he doesn't have a ton around him. Mac Jones has got something that none of these other guys has, and that's a system that is tailored to his strengths, and he's being coached by guys that are the best in the business.
I want to flip the topic, though, of this. Obviously, that's from the Boston standpoint, about how Justin Fields or someone else would do there. And I brought this up on Crosstalk Unhinged, and I'm convinced of it. We drop a new episode today. You can download that ESPN Chicago app. It was Carmen, me, and Waddle. Yurko was golfing today. It was
good for him.
Yeah, it was fantastic. 60-degree day today. Hope Yurko had a good round of golf in December in Chicago. But I brought up Carson Wentz, and I'll do the same with Mac Jones. My belief is if you flip it the other way around, if Mac Jones would have been their choice at quarterback, the Bears would be in the exact same thing and Mac Jones would be broken right now. That if Mac Jones was starting for Matt Nagy's offense, like Mitch Trubisky, like Andy Dalton, like Justin Fields,
is
like
Justin
Nick Foles,
Fields broke?
He's looked broken in singular games based on what he couldn't do, like in Cleveland, like in the Green Bay game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they, but I think we'd be talking about Mac Jones as a bust. I believe anything Nagy and his staff touches doesn't get any better. He has not helped any of them.
I wouldn't go to the extreme to tell you that Mac Jones would be a bust.
I think he'd look worse than Justin Fields. I think some of the reasons why we're holding on to Justin Fields' success are the wow plays. The ones that you mentioned with athleticism, with the run, with some of those throws that he's made rolling out. And I don't believe...
Or would Mac Jones be more proficient in a system reading and reacting?
Well, and then I was going to get to the point of... They ranked on ESPN, I think it was ESPN.com. I know Abdallah's screening something. Which quarterbacks in the NFL have been helped the most and have been helped the least? The Bears have a receiving core, or at least an offense they run, which has one of the least amount of open wide receivers in it. So whether that's scheme, because they can't scheme guys open, whether that's some of the guys being sticky, who's he throwing him to? Who, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so this stat, what you're talking about is the quarterback help composite score, and it's from Pro Football Focus, and it takes into effect everything. Special teams, how well the teams run a ball, defensive expected points per drive.
Okay, but time out, real quick.
Open rate for receivers.
Okay, but some of the stuff that you just mentioned, like special teams and defensive play,
yeah,
you factor out.
Why?
Because why would that, better, in terms of how your quarterback better, is functioning you, inside an offense, those things don't matter.
But if you have a better defense, and we saw it with Mitch, if you have a better defense and better special teams, you have shorter fields. If you can get turnovers, you can generate turnovers, you have shorter fields for your quarterback
I get
to go.
It, but inside an offense, it's more important who your receivers and your offensive line are. Offensive specific issues are more important to the overall play of your quarterback than your special teams. Period, end of story. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
It's silly.
But he's just telling you what this argument
is. I know. I'm just saying, and like, clarity to it or perspective to it.
Abdallah, before you give the totals things, too, I believe they take each individual stat as well, and I've seen this graded before, that the Bears have as far as receivers, the stat of grading open receivers, like the least amount of open receivers in the entire league.
It doesn't break it down what each team ranks per metric. So open rate would be the Bears are 50.55. So they, let me scan real quick. Yes, they are the lowest.
See, so the lowest.
Yeah.
So they have the worst amount of open receivers of any team in the league.
Okay.
So is that are the Bears crappy receivers? Oh, does Matt Nagy not know how to scheme them open? Are they not open because the line can't block and doesn't give them time to get open?
I think the answer to your question is a little bit of yes to everything.
So how does Mac Jones succeed here?
I didn't say he would succeed. I'm just saying I don't think he'd be a bust. The same way I don't think that Justin Fields is a bust. Mac Jones, without a doubt, has found himself in the most fortunate situation of any of the rookie quarterbacks. Period. End of story. No question. You don't look, that offensive line in New England is better than our offensive line. Running backs are running backs, right?
Right.
Name me all the receivers in New England.
Right.
I mean,
Kendrick Bourne is now coming into his own, but they're guys.
They're guys.
Right.
Like, so there's a lot that has to do with coaching. The kid has played well. He's had a roller coaster ride as well. Like I said, the only game I've looked at closely of his was against the Carolina Panthers, and he didn't look good at all. They won that game because their defense was good, and Carolina's guy, Sam Darnold, was throwing it to the other team. So, like, this is why I wouldn't come to any long-term conclusions about which guy fits in each system. I don't think Justin Fields is a bust. I don't know how good he'd be in New England. He'd be better in New England than he is here. And I think Mac Jones would struggle here the way at times that Justin Fields has.
Right, right. That's maybe a better way to say it. Because I brought up Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, I think most people would be surprised if I told you, is 21 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
I would have thought he had a higher interception total.
Many people did not want, including me, did not want Carson Wentz here. And I believe if they would have traded for him, there was a rumor last year, right towards the end of the season, that they were looking into making a trade. I think there was one person reporting that was close at one point, that if they would have acquired him, he would have already been benched. That again, like Nick Foles, now he's got more talent than, but remember all that he's overcome. He has gone to a coach who knows how to coach offense.
Yes.
And he's getting help, and it's worked together. I believe anybody that Matt Nagy has worked with, Matt Nagy's helped make worse, including Mitch. I'm not saying that Mitch is this great player. I'm saying that Nagy did nothing to help him.
No.
Nagy brought him down. Nagy, in my opinion, brought Foles down. Nagy is bringing Fields down. Nagy will bring Dalton down.
He's bringing anybody down.
He's bringing everybody down.
But the point I'm saying to you is anybody, you take any of those guys and put them in New England situation, they're going to be more efficient because of their surroundings. There's no doubt that you come here, you're not going to find yourself in a good position for a quarterback. History has told us that. But I don't think any of us, with that in mind, I mean, whether it's Matt Nagy, I don't think any of us wanted Carson Wentz. But your point is very valid.
None of us wanted Carson Wentz.
You go to Indianapolis, you're going to be put in a better situation. Their offensive line's better.
Yes.
They commit to the run. Jonathan Taylor's arguably the best back in the league right now.
I would take their general manager.
Of course.
I would take their head coach.
Yes.
I would take their offensive line all over what the Bears have. And the Bears could have had many of them. The Bears had their pick of those.
I think if you put the kid from Jacksonville, you put Justin Fields, and you leave Mac Jones in the New England offense, and you'd be impressed with all three of them.
Okay. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. What if you played Swapperama here? What if Mac Jones was here and Justin Fields was there? What would it look like? And I believe, again, that this group of coaches have done nothing. There's not been one guy on offense, really, who has gotten better when he's in the Matt Nagy system, whatever that is. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Silk on ESPN 1000.
Talking some football. Also, Bill Lazor spoke today about Justin Fields. I thought it was pretty good. Dan Weider was on around this time yesterday. Remember he told us that...
Any word on who took first team snaps today? Still Dalton?
I would assume it's still Dalton because Fields was limited. So
makes sense.
Yeah, if you can't practice the full practice. But remember, Weider told us he was surprised by how well he thought Justin Fields moved, at least the time that they watch. They don't get to watch a lot of practice. So he asked the offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, who spoke today regarding, hey, does he look better than you thought?
Well, I probably felt the same as you watching him move around. I didn't know what it would look like. And I thought I felt pretty good what I saw. But none of us know how it feels. Yeah. We've all had backside core injuries and that, you know, sometimes sneezing hurts. So, yeah. But no, I agree. He moved well.
That is today's greatest clip.
Welcome to the greatest clips on ESPN 1000, presented by Great Clips.
So what do you make of what Bill Lazor had to say?
I was encouraged by what Dan Weiderer had to say yesterday. At this point, there's really not much to what he had to say. If, in fact, my hope is that he gets healthier sooner rather than later so they can get him back on the field. But with that in mind, I'm not going to expose him to any further injury. It's just like when these guys talk, with no disrespect meant to them, I'm sure as this comes off that way, I can't be pissed at them when they say things I don't like and then trust them when they do say things I do like. You know, I mean, it's just when they tell you things like, oh, he looked good, that makes us feel better about it. But we've spent the entire year not trusting anything that this staff has said. So why? Because they are saying things that we like. Are we buying into it? Like, my point is I very rarely really listen to what is being said up there anymore from their coaching staff because it's all garbled circular conversation.
Even when it comes to health, I guess they lie all the time.
Well, how did he feel? Like, I mean, the health thing, whether or not, that's why I said when Dan said to us, because he's got no dog in the hunt. He doesn't have to protect anything. He doesn't have to protect any thoughts. And Dan says, hey, he looked like he moved around and wasn't wincing in pain. That's more important to me, honestly, than what I'm hearing from a coaching staff that thinks that they're hiding national secrets half of the time. So my point is when a coach tells you one thing and you're sitting there going, what the F does that mean? When he says something that you do like or you do attach yourself to, like it's all, to me, it's all kind of noise.
Peter in Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Pete?
What's going on, fellas?
Peter. Everything's good.
Oh, my God, Steven, you're driving me crazy.
What now?
Come on.
What now am I doing, Peter?
I have you on P3 right now because your takes are horrible right now. But we'll see if we can work this out.
What's horrible? Tell me what's horrible.
For one, let me just bust your bubble. I know you don't like to say anything bad about Justin Fields. The problem is with Justin Fields, he cannot read a defense. If you take Matt Jones right now and put him in a short game with the Bears will look much better.
Just like Nick Foles last year, right? Who can read defenses and won a Super Bowl and can read defenses, right? Just like Nick Foles last year in Nagy's offense.
Nick Foles. You're talking about somebody like Nick Foles. Nick Foles, anybody know when you got Nick Foles? Nick Foles is not a starting quarterback. Anytime he has started, he sucks. Anytime he has started a lot of games, he sucks. Nick Foles is an older guy. Can't nobody ruin Nick Foles but Nick Foles in his age. Nick Foles is not that good. Same thing you said about Mitch Trubisky. If Mitch Trubisky, if you're good, and Waddle noticed, if you good, your talent's going to show. Another coach would have brought Mitch in and said, you know what, we see some good things on him. Nobody wasn't after Mitch.
Well, I've never said that. All I've said is that Matt Nagy did nothing to help Mitch. Carson Wentz may not have been the best option for many teams, but he went to a coach who knew how to unlock it, and suddenly, 21 touchdowns and 5 picks.
No.
What would you do for stats like that?
Carson Wentz like to throw with his left hand sometimes. Carson Wentz will lose you a game because he would make an idiotic play trying to fit the ball in a perfect situation. If you look at the last game they played, He was trying to throw balls. He had about three or four. Should have had about three or four interceptions.
You can't argue that Carson Wentz is not having a surprisingly good year.
Carson Wentz was not going to be a sit on the Bears.
I don't want him on the Bears. I don't know your takes, Peter. I told you I didn't want Carson Wentz on the Bears because Nagy never would have unlocked anything.
You got a problem with a coach. You're a coach killer. Anytime you got a problem with somebody, I'm the coach killer.
Four and seven, and Sylvie's the coach killer. Calling timeouts. Hold on, Peter. Calling freaking timeouts on third down, on third and one after you go deep, and calling a timeout on whether you punt or whether you go for it. He's calling a timeout, and I'm the coach killer. Calling a timeout before a two-point conversion, and I'm the coach killer.
Anytime you got a problem with a coach, you always want to blame the coach only.
Yeah. Maybe because they suck.
Same thing you do with Dusty Baker because you don't like him.
All those championship rings Dusty's holding up. How are you doing in the World Series this year, Peter?
How many wins?
Zero rings.
How many wins?
Let the clubhouse run amok.
Let Bartman get the better of the team.
I'm a coach killer.
You can't admit that, kid. I'm so hard on these guys.
I'm so hard on these guys. I'm so nice to Justin Fields, but I'm a coach killer.
You are a coach killer because you bring everything on the coach and not on the player.
It's me. Maybe they do it to themselves. Do something smart. Win games. Develop a quarterback.
You should be smarter than the coach. You think you can fix the Bulls and the Bears? I did fix the Bulls.
I told you more than two years ago that Paxton Garr had to go. That Michael Reinsdorf needed to change the front office. I told you years ago that they need to get rid of Stevie Wonder.
You're not saying anything on that. Stevie Wonder saw that.
All right, yeah, Steven, a good blind joke, Peter. What else you got up your sleeve?
How about a Ray Charles joke next, Peter? Stop blaming. Justin Fields is still learning. Matt Jones would be a lot better quarterback right now for the Bears.
Okay, look, if you have that thought, Peter, I'm cool with debating with you, but to call me a coach killer when I simply have expectations for my teams to be good, where I simply ask the coach to have a better offensive ranking than 30th in the league, when I simply ask my coach to be planning a couple plays ahead of time.
It's just more than just a coach. You need talent as well.
Right, and that's why I think Ryan Pace stinks, too.
You don't say enough about Ryan Pace. It's Matt Nagy. You listen to what you want to hear.
You listen to what you want to hear.
That's you. I listen to you guys every day.
No, you're P5 now, Peter.
Uh-oh.
You're P5. I got you on P10 now.
Oh, no, Peter! I got you at P15, Peter.
I love you, Sylvie. You got the same birthday with me.
Peter, you're a Sylvie killer. You know what you are. Oh, boy. You're a Sylvie killer.
I used to have a friend named Sylvie. I got rid of him. You're right. Sylvie, I still love you. We can disagree, buddy. It's okay.
I just don't like the general term of me being a coach killer. All those coaches that I've crushed have a reason to be crushed. You want that 90 back next year?
That was a bad word. I used a bad word. You know what? I just disagree with that. How you blame the coaches for everything. Players got to be held accountable as well.
All right, Peter.
All right. So sorry about using that word. You're a coach. I'm sorry.
Happy holidays.
Call back.
All right. Thank you, guys. Why do I love your pants?
White jeans. I'm going to be wearing them. I'm going to rock them like nobody can. Look, it's back on
P1 now. Preset that number one, Peter.
No, I got you at the 12.
Oh, boy. Look, there's no...
I'm sweating.
I know you are. There's no question that Mac Jones finds himself in a better situation than Justin Fields. Period. End of story. Would Mac Jones be as efficient and as good here as he is in New England? No chance. Would Justin Fields be better in New England than he is in Chicago? There is very much a chance for that.
Because coaching matters.
If coaching matters. So does the play of the quarterback. So does the system that the rookie quarterback is coming out of and going into. But at the end of the day, it's really simple. What they've got going on in New England is a much better setup for a young rookie quarterback than what we have here in Chicago.
332-3776, if you wanted to react to whatever that just was. Look, when Matt Nagy fires himself twice as play caller, I'm not the coach killer. He is. He's done it to himself.
Yeah, I wouldn't let Peter.
332-3776.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Your hair looks disheveled.
It is. I'm all disheveled. Look, I want to love the Bears. I want to love whoever their coach is. I think you're seeing it with the Bulls now, too. Like, some people are complaining now that I've been over-loving the Bulls and giving them too much credit. Same dude who goes after me on Twitter that I'm never happy about anything tweeted me the other day about, boy, you really are going over the top with your Bulls love. And I retweeted him one of his tweets. I go, you told me I hate everything. Like, I want to love all their... I'm giving even Tom Ricketts the benefit of the doubt. I told you yesterday, and then they signed Stroman. He gave me 15 through 20, which is 5 out of 6 years of making the postseason,
so
which
why
is
you gotta
really
be a coach killer.
Is a really good run. I know. I'm such a coach killer. I don't want to dislike...
No, don't let Peter just... Peter,
I'm not letting him. But there are people out there who think... Like that, I hate the team. I want to love them. I don't want them to be 4-7. I hate being in this middle. I hate not having a good team at the top and smart people running it.
Look, some of the numbers tell the story here. And again, as I said earlier, it's indisputable. Mac Jones finds himself in a significantly better situation in New England for a number of reasons than Justin Fields finds himself here in Chicago. And whether you use your eyeballs, your numbers, these fancy statistics that lump everything in together, I think you can come to a very easy conclusion that Mac Jones has got himself in a better spot than Justin Fields right now.
And I think it matters. Just JP and on the Dan Ryan, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Great show, guys. And I love the back and forth with Peter. That was awesome. Sylvie, I disagree with you as well. I'm not quite as
coach
passionate.
Killer.
And Peter, not a coach killer. You're a passionate fan, and that's why we love listening to you on the radio. I think Mac Jones would do better than Justin Fields in the offense right now. I still think when we look back at their careers, Justin Fields is going to be a better quarterback. But what Mac Jones does well actually fits with what Matt Nagy wants to run as an offense, and that is getting the ball out quick. The problem with Matt Nagy's offense is twofold, and this is why he's going to get fired at the end of this year. He can't adjust. He has one offense that he wants to run, the Kansas City offense. Yeah. But if you don't have a great offensive line and better speed than the defense at two or three positions, then all of that fancy stuff is not going to work. Your receivers need time to get open. There's a reason why Darnell Mooney, we're starting to fall in love with him and think that he looks really great. And he's the only one on the offense with speed that's actually, on the field. We saw what happens in Kansas City when they lost two offensive linemen. All of a sudden, their offense in the Super Bowl looked like crap. Why? Because the quarterback was running for his life, and there wasn't time for all those receivers to be able to run, four or five receivers to go out there and run routes. Our receivers can't get open because we have to leave 7 or 8 guys in the block. We'll have 2 receivers going against 4 DBs.
Right.
They're not going to get open. So the offense, whatever our offense is going to be, is not going to work until we fix the offensive line. And then the only thing that works is just running the ball, letting our offensive line push. But Nagy is stubborn. It's like he doesn't know anything else. So the offense failed because the line sucks and all of it falls apart, and it's like a stack of, a house of cards. So Mac Jones, because he gets the ball out quick, would work better. Now, he would still look broken at times, but he would work better. But I think Justin Fields is a better talent. I think
it's a very sound assessment, and I agree with a lot of it. I think there's a very good chance 10 years from now we are going to look back and say that Justin Fields had a better career than Mac Jones. But the early start, obviously Mac Jones has got a head start on him for all the reasons JP just actually mentioned. And he is more equipped to play in this. And he's right. The biggest problem I have with how Matt Nagy runs his offense is exactly what he mentioned, is he doesn't tailor the offense to the skill set of his guys. And we saw that with Mitch. What he tries to do is make guys run his offense because it worked in Kansas City. Well, if you don't have Kansas City's talent, most teams don't. You have to adjust what you're trying to do. And his way of thinking is ball come out quick, ball come out quick, ball come out quick. Well, that's not what Justin did in college, so it's going to take him a little bit longer to get adjusted to it. Plus, he doesn't have, you know, the same teaching that is going on up at Hallis Hall that is in New England. So his start in the league may be a little bit bumpier. It doesn't mean that by year two or three that he may be way ahead of the rest of the group of rookie quarterbacks.
In the quote, Matt Nagy offense in 4 years, who has he made better?
There's really nobody. I mean, like, the guy that has done really good things and he's hurt now is Allen Robinson. If you go back and look at his numbers statistically, there aren't many guys in the last 2 years that have had as many catches and as many yards as Allen Robinson. He's really the one guy.
But in
that
Jacksonville,
has stood
out. He showed when healthy he could do that.
I'm not suggesting that Matt took him from here and raised him to here. What I'm telling you is in this system, there's really only been one guy that to me has stood out over an extended period of time.
Like, even Cordarrelle Patterson goes to Atlanta and looks better than he looked here.
Yeah.
You know? How many guys? There will be guys who leave here who will be better on other teams. Brian in Buffalo Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bry?
Hey, boys, how's it going?
Good.
Real quick. Okay, I just want to make a comment on this Justin Fields and Mac Jones thing, and then I have a question for you guys real quick. But the first topic is that I think Mac Jones would not fare very well in Chicago, due to the fact that he would not be able to run around as much as Justin Fields does. He does look like a Tom Brady. He just can't get he can't get the ball out that as fast as what JP said. So I think he would just get more killed than what Justin Fields is getting. So that's that. And then the topic that I wanted to ask you a question about is development. So you guys are banging the drum on development, getting Justin Fields to develop, starting him. I have one other question. The Bears drafted a corner out of Oregon named Thomas Graham Jr., and he still sits on the practice squad. Kendall Vildor does not know how to play football.
Right, Artie why Burns. Not?
Yeah, and why not bring him up, put him on the 53, and let him start the rest of the season opposite of Jalen Johnson, or put him in the slot, whatever it is, to get that, just to see what they have out of Thomas Graham. This guy should be a fairly decent player. He came from the Pac-12. I just don't understand it. And if I'm not mistaken, they just signed a guy to the practice squad today that was a corner.
Was it D. Virgin? Is that who it was? Because that was my nickname in high school.
D. who?
D. Virgin.
Listen, I honestly don't have any... I can give you an honest assessment of the kid they drafted out of Oregon State.
Well, I would hope before the season ends they certainly try, because Artie Burns was out there getting burned in the Detroit game.
On the surface, it sounds great. I have no idea if in practice he's absolutely lost. I have no clue. So I mean, like, it sounds good. What he presented sounded good, but I can't verify that they're just suppressing his you know, availability or coming to the 53-man roster.
Nick and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nick?
Gentlemen, first things first, I'm very much so looking forward to finally meeting you guys Friday at Howard Street.
Nice.
And, man, it's just living in the area there and hearing you guys that are coming, I think that's awesome. So
where are you in Skokie? Where do you reside in Skokie, Nick?
So, Sylvia, I know you'll know exactly what I'm about to say. I went to Niles West myself, but I live right across the street from the Skokie Public Library.
All right, sure. Absolutely.
So, it's, I mean, honestly, with all the times we've spoken on the radio, we've never met at any of these events. I told my wife I'm taking the day off to meet Waddle and Sylvie, and she was like, oh, you're going to meet Waddle? And I said, and Sylvie. She goes,
Sylvie
yeah.
Sylvie likes to be hugged, Nick, in person.
I'm a big dude, so get ready, my man.
All right, there you go.
District 219 hug.
That's right, that's right. My question for you guys is this. So I'm listening to the Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and I guess my question is, what are we basing the success on after, like, when we compare careers? Are we talking about statistically? Are we talking about playoff appearances? And before you answer, I want to kind of put it like this. Let's say 10 years, 15 years from now, you know, we're comparing Mac Jones and we're comparing Justin Fields the way we kind of compare Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. What is the benchmark, or what are we comparing in terms of which quarterback was successful based on the teams that they're on, assuming these two guys aren't going to get traded in 3 or 4 years and that they're going to stay with their respective squad?
Well, how could you, Nick, how could you not say that Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, as much as we all love Aaron Rodgers as a player?
Okay, so, and I had a feeling you were going to ask me that. Are we basing success on championships or statistics?
Everything.
Everything?
I mean, if you want to look at Aaron Rodgers, yes, Aaron Rodgers has the best touchdown interception ratio in the history of the sport.
And I agree with you 100%. And I think Sylvie made this maybe 2-3 months ago. I think Sylvie made a comment like, well, what if Aaron Rodgers had played for the Pats?
That I don't know. Listen, comparing players is really difficult,
Nick,
because there are so many different variables. I think this is silly. This is an exercise. This is a sports talk radio exercise. Well, how would our guy fit in your system? You can speak in general terms. And my general terms are Mac Jones is in a much better situation in New England for 1,000 reasons.
Well, I would be thrilled, though, if Mac Jones was Tom Brady and Justin Fields was Aaron Rodgers.
Of course you would.
I'd be thrilled.
Yes.
Like, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Give me several Pro Bowls, a championship, you know, a difference-making quarterback.
And listen, these guys are different style QBs as well. So, I mean, doing this exercise is fun. You get a chance to break a sweat and scream at some people. But at the end of the day, there's just some very basic, you know, facts here. One guy's in a system being coached by the greatest coach in the history of the sport, an offensive coordinator that is really good at what he does. The other guy's here in Chicago.
Yep. Yep. Does speak for itself. All right. We need two contestants, caller 20 and caller 40. Bulls-Knicks tonight. Do we have a line on the Bulls-Knicks game, Abdallah? I would think Knicks would be like a 2-point favorite. That would be my guess on the line.
Last I checked, they were a 2-point favorite.
The Bulls are a 2-point favorite?
No, the Knicks.
The Knicks are a 2-point favorite, I mean. So I'll double check it. You get to pick either the Bulls or the Knicks.
The Knicks? I've got right here on DraftKings.
Oh,
I got
the
Knicks
Bulls are a 2-point favorite.
I got the Knicks is +2.
All right, so the Bulls are a 2-point favorite. Do you want the Bulls on the road as the favorite or the hometown Knicks? Caller 20 gets to make the choice. Caller 40 gets the other team, and whichever team wins will win the gift card. We'll tell you from who. Coming up, callers 20 and 40, 332-3776. We'll continue to take your Bears calls as well. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, which did the caller take, Abdallah, with What's at Stake, brought to you by GT Prime? We have caller 20 and caller 40. The winner will get a $50 gift card to GT Prime. You got to check them out. 707 North Wells Street. For more information, check out GTPrimeRestaurant.com from the Boca Restaurant Group. It's Kevin Boehm. It's Rob Katz. Those guys are awesome. And so is their chef and partner, Giuseppe Tintori, who is redefined the Chicago Steakhouse, and they bring you GT Prime. Also, congratulations to GT Prime's sister restaurant, GT Fish and Oyster, celebrating 10 years of business. Which way did the caller go?
Which way did he go? The first caller, hold on, I'm trying to get his name here. Brian went with the Knicks.
Wow, took the points.
You know that Tibbs is going to pull out all stops. He's probably a little chapped after the loss.
To Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Oh, and after the loss to the Bulls, too?
Yes. Yeah.
So
I don't know if that means that they're going to beat the Bulls, but...
Have you been aware of this Julius Randle controversy?
Yes, that... I heard you in Wilbon talking about this yesterday, that maybe the officials will be more forgiving or more lenient with him because of what transpired recently.
Right. So at the end of the game the other day, he was called for a foul. They didn't think it was a foul. And there were other calls in the game that he wasn't getting, that they were giving the other team. And he went to the official, supposedly, and said, "Why am I not getting these calls?" And the official said, "You're also a victim of your size, where a lot of these fouls don't look like they do much damage to you, or, you know, you don't react in a..." Because, you know, it Shaq, you know, was a victim of that at times, too, where you could hit Shaq and he would never
move.
LeBron sometimes the same as well, but LeBron will flop. So Julius Randle was mad about that. He's been bellyaching a lot, and we'll see if they get some calls here tonight.
An accomplished player like him may have some influence or sway.
So. Yeah, especially lately. I'm trying to see where their record is these days, because they were hovering around 500 last I checked.
They're 11 and 10.
11 and 10.
Yeah.
And Kemba Walker has been...
out of the rotation.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. The Bulls, this Bulls story is a good one.
It's a really good one.
Great,
if you miss Stephen A. today, you got to download that ESPN Chicago app. Stephen A., big Knicks fan, called the Bulls a contender. Again, he's not picking them to win the East, but he says they can win the East. They absolutely can win the East. And I think that for the first year of a team being good again, to say that they have a chance to win the East, that's all you can ask for. Yes. See, that's my expectations aren't over the top, killing coaches.
Yeah, I don't think you're a coach killer. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I swallowed the...
Yeah, don't do that, because I think they can hurt you.
Blow out my ears?
Something. Maybe that vein in your forehead would pop. I don't want to see that.
Plenty of veins. Eric and Berwyn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good, good. Sylvia, I just call real quick. This is my first time I call. I listen to you guys every day. But I was I want to get something in real quick and let you know that I support you and you're not a coach killer. When it comes to football, I mean, we watch football every Sunday. The Bears, he's not coaching. He's not putting them in positions to be successful. You have players on the team. There's talent on the team. People say, "Oh, Bears don't have any talent." They have talented players on the team, but he's not being able to bring that out. I mean, I really, you know, that's what I see when I'm watching the games. And I'm 50 years old, so I've been watching a lot of Bears football.
Yeah, you have. Eric, I mean, like, when you get ready for that Cleveland game and Justin Fields out there, and you look at what they gave Justin Fields to deal with, and no quarterback could have survived that game. And again, it's not about making magic. I'm not asking Matt Nagy to make magic. Put your players in the best position to succeed.
Absolutely. So you're not a coach killer, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're probably, if you polled 100 people here in Chicago that watched the games consistently and have been Bears fans for 4 years, you're going to get 95 of them tell you that the coach has not done a good job.
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to hear the chants. How ugly could it get on and off the field? Waddle's got some questions in 2 minutes. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776, you want to talk about the Cubs move of Marcus Stroman, Jesse's going to join us at 5:15. You could weigh in as well. We're back in 2 short minutes.